96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You tuned in to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. This is Erin Green. I am just sitting in until Mr. Newry gets to studio. But today, we had another exciting discussion with Reverend Dr. Cleveland Enius III, a.k.a. Calhoun Uncle Sarat.
ZZ Jess is going to go straight to Uncle Sarat.
So yeah, I'm telling you. And I'm in improv mode, right? Because we're preparing for the expo, the Black Box.
Okay.
Open mic team preparing for the expo. So I just in improv mode, sir. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Great to be back.
Mr. Newry is on his way. And so I guess until he gets here, the earlier discussion I had today was with Equality Bahamas that advocates around women's issues, right?
Sure.
And feminist issues, which what I appreciate about this feminist organization is that their feminist approach is to find equality and equity, right, in relationships between men and women, which recognizes that men and women need different things.
Right.
But we have the same right to access those things.
Right.
Right. And I think it's important to acknowledge that men and women need different things. They think different ways. And even when we both agree that children need care and protection, we may disagree on what that looks like or how we produce that, right? Or how it is produced. And so I thought following yesterday's conversation with Bashra and today's conversation with Equality Bahamas, if I had an opportunity, I would ask you if we could talk about reconciling the principle or the area of focus in Rel-Cel Webb on sex and gender with the modern reading of advocacy and gender advocacy and advocacy against gender-based violence.
Right.
Because one thing I find is that women, the preponderance of incidents I think documented are women as victims of violence, either violence perpetuated by men or violence they experience in a patriarchal system that says it prioritizes men.
Right.
And I think there's a difference because women can perpetuate that violence, right? That systemic violence. Women are often perpetuating that violence. And then the thing about patriarchy and patriarchal violence doesn't just affect women.
Correct.
Its intended target is not just women.
Right.
Its intended target is the destabilization of gender relationships.
Powerful, yes.
Right? And I think, so when I call myself a feminist, that's the space that I sit in, right? And to the point where in some spaces, I have to use the word womanist, right? Because that
I was going to say, see, Clenora Hudson Weems, I think I mentioned her to you before. I don't know if you had a chance to check out any of her work. She has a coined phrase, African womanist, African womanism, right? And this African, as opposed to feminist in terms of not including the man. So African womanism includes the male and the female, right? But give space to what you're talking about, right? Focusing on keeping the family together, understanding the male and the female both having necessarily the same needs, mm-hmm. but understanding the long-term goal of keeping the family together. Amy Jacques Garvey, Marcus Garvey's second wife, mm-hmm. she referred to herself as a feminist, right? But if we were to look at how she positioned herself around what Marcus Garvey was doing, because obviously once he was arrested and when he couldn't mobilize, she assisted with mobilizing and putting his work together and making sure that we have the opinions and philosophy of Marcus Garvey. That's her work mm-hmm. in terms of her putting it together. She took his speeches, etc. All of that, in her estimates, is a form of feminism, mm-hmm. right? Or often we aim to talk about this African womanism, right? I think what we have to understand with regard to the backdrop of it all, when it comes to racism, white supremacy, or Euro-Western dominance, what happens is you have countries that dominate other countries, right? Those mm-hmm. countries that have been dominated, that spirit of domination now moves from the level of a country being dominated to a level of systems being dominated, all the way down to the family being dominated into individuals being dominated, mm-hmm. right? So none of this is happening in a vacuum, mm-hmm. right? When we begin to itemize the trauma, because like you said, the intended
target
is not necessarily the woman or the man or even just the family. This trauma that we have begun to itemize in order to heal ourselves, because in order for us to find a solution, we have to know, okay, what's really wrong, right? So we begin to itemize. Sometimes we can get caught up in that itemization of it, and I think it's beautiful. In an acute situation, yeah, if a woman is getting, you know, the brakes beat off of her, yeah, we got to deal with that situation right then. And if it's continuously happening, we're going to have to make sure that that stops. Mm-hmm. But always keeping the larger context in view of, well, why is that happening? Dr. Amos Wilson, and I'm just throwing some names out here for people who want to dive deeper, who may not have heard these names. Dr. Amos Wilson has a book on Black violence, right? Mm-hmm. Where he speaks to this reality of violence from the dominant culture or the dominant society being projected on the more powerless in a weaker society. And then he uses a phrase called introjection, right? So whatever has been projected on the powerless, they begin to believe it. Mm-hmm. They begin to now use the stereotypes, use the things that have been thrown at the
rhetoric.
The rhetoric, right? So I now believe what this dominant society is telling me.
Poet. The movie that we watched last night, Empire Ways, as exact right, like the teens, the overweight teens, had absorbed one everything that her mother told her. Because her mother, we find out in the end, the husband turns to the mother and says, "You know, I love you, and I just wish you would love yourself."
My love.
Right? Yeah. Because you're projecting that onto your daughter, and yeah. now your daughter has absorbed everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So what begins to happen is what Dr. Amos Wilson talks about is the fact that the violence that we see being perpetrated in our community, it comes out of a space of powerlessness, mm-hmm. where people who feel powerless now need to find a way to find their power. Mm-hmm. So they go after somebody who is as powerless or even more powerless than them. Mm-hmm. So they begin to attack those who cannot fend for themselves. In many instances, that's the woman. Mm-hmm. Physically speaking, yeah. right? It's not to say that women have ways of projecting their powerlessness onto men and women alike, mm-hmm. right? In different ways, right?
So here's maybe a good exercise. If your grandparents are still alive, mm-hmm. go to your grandparents and say to them, "I want to ask you a deep question. It may seem deeply personal, mm-hmm. but it isn't deeply personal. I need to ask you this. In your recollection, did your parents or grandparents or granduncles ever share all their experiences on the work, on the job, at work, right? Because Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin had that famous discussion where she tells him, when you come home, don't smile and lie to me. Tell me the truth. He said, no, yeah. I lie to you because I love you.
I saw that clip.
Right. She said, no, when you on that job,
yeah,
you smile, whatever that man say to you, whatever master say to you, you smile. You say, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. You say, yes, sir. You eat it up and you smile.
Mm-hmm.
She said, lie to me. Don't tell me the truth. That's what she said.
Yeah.
When you come home, lie to me. Do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because if you a man and you on the job, you's a big man at that time, and your boss and the whole world says it's okay for him to belittle you. In some instances, they would get hit, right? Because ask your grandparents about their grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when they come home, right? And sometimes there's an experience of violence in that household. And you wonder why, if granddaddy loved Grammy so much, why? Because sometimes he is just trying to figure out how to get his power back because he has been moralized.
Yes, emasculated and demoralized and put in a position where, sadly enough, his estimates, his mm-hmm. best way to reclaim some form of that manhood is to take whatever he got at work and he's going to project that onto his family because that's where he has his power.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say a big shout out to Dr. AJ Varma, who's listening all the way from Liberia, West Africa. Thanks for listening, Basesh. So the reality is that we have to be aware of what is happening to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Isaiah chapter 19, it talks about this Lord, this Lord that came into the land of what we call Egypt today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was a teaching that our student priests, the women in our church, they were given a lesson or a sermon 2 weeks ago, right? And this came up, right? I just want to read verse 1. It says, this is Isaiah chapter 19. The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in its midst. And we looked up this word heart, mm-hmm. right? This fact that the heart was melted. And they gave several definitions, one of which was the will, the other was the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when you live in a society that's melting the will and the intellect of the people, this is now producing ignorance
mm-hmm.
on all levels of rel cell web, religious, economics, labor, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once the will and the ignorance of the people have been melted, now you are in a condition of ignorance.
Yeah.
Right? Ignorance produces, per our Basesh, Dr. AJ Varma, he wrote a book called Are You Slave Mind, Student Mind, or God Mind? Right? Mm-hmm. JourneyHomeGroup.com. You can find that book, right? In the book, he says that ignorance breeds fear and denial. Fear and denial breeds racism, white supremacy. Right, so in order for racism, white supremacy, which is more institutionalized today, right now we see it happening internationally now with the rise of the new government, and which is according to Genesis chapter 15 verse 16, they talk about the iniquities of the Amorites not being full. This racism, this way of controlling people, is now coming back full circle again mm-hmm. after 400 years. Right, What begins to happen is if we don't begin to learn about who we are as a people, and this is where the itemization of trauma comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are women being attacked? Why are certain men being attacked? Why are old, at one point I remember there were older women being attacked. We're not mm-hmm. just women, older women. I was like, you talking older? You talking Grammy now?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why is all these things happening? These things have to be looked at through the lens of a wider scope of world dominance that trickles down into the society. If we only focus on it from a societal aspect, we don't really get to the root of it, mm-hmm. right? In fact, we often get to the point where we start blaming each other, mm-hmm. right? Where we start, men start attacking women, women start attacking men. Purpose in the whole first instance.
Like, yeah, why are you policing our daughter like that? Why are you buying her clothes like that?
Okay, right.
Why is the shop, but hold right. on, why is the shop selling clothes like that? Why are the most affordable things for children the most inappropriate things for children? Where do our clothes come from? Who's sending these clothes? Because then you realize, like, in the food market, right,
mm-hmm.
there are districts. So our wholesalers are locked into specific districts okay. that they can import from.
Right.
Right. So when the question of food sovereignty and food security comes up,
right.
we're like, why are you buying this type of food?
Right.
Why is this the only types type of products available in right. this jurisdiction?
Right. Multiple choice makes it appear as if you have a choice.
Yeah.
But in truth, they've already made the choice for you. Mm-hmm. Right. From these 1,500 items, if you wish. But that's your one choice, the 1,500 items.
Not realizing that there are actually 100,000
exactly.
items in the same category you could
that
have
you
chosen.
And so that's now where the ignorance comes in, because I believe that the only options I have are these 1,500 when it comes to food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at behavior. If I think that the only go home and take all of my frustration out of my family, whereby I'm beating them up or cursing them out, or I don't even go home to them, right? I can just go to the bar, mm-hmm. right? Or I can go someplace else where I don't have to deal with the responsibility of my family because I am not equipped to deal with that. I don't know how to say I'm not equipped. I don't know how to say I am so beaten, I'm so broken, I am so hurt, because everybody around me is pretending as if this is normal, right? Everybody around me is pretending as, yeah, but he's a man, you know, yeah, you suck that up. You know what I mean? Dave Chappelle used to tell a joke. He said, yeah, they got 1-800 numbers for women, but as a man, he said, if you call, he'd be like, yeah, suck it up, man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost like the truth, you know, like you call the police station and say, my wife raped me. They'd be like, you wasn't happy?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
And you could imagine you go to your friend and say, "Bae, look here, I don't know my," and he can say, "But what
my
happened?
Wife beat me,
what wrong
right?
with you? You don't like it? You supposed to like that, bae?"
Right, right. So we gotta have again these type of conversations in a broader scope, right? We have to understand that the society is sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could all to change behavior. Yes, you can look at the person's individual environment. You could say, well, this person is in a poverty-stricken environment. This person is in a food desert. This person's territory, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we begin to put all the onus on the individual without stepping back and looking at the society. The wider society is sick,
mm-hmm.
okay? And this wider sick society that we are all a part of has been normalized to the point where when you begin to question some of the things that are actually attacking us, you're looked at as the problem,
mm-hmm.
right? When you look at high bills, when you look at the fact that we're just supposed to, whatever the power company tell you your bill is, you just got to eat that up. Whatever the water company tell you, you just got to eat that up. You know what I'm saying?
To the point, right, it's become cultural to the point where people who work in specific areas and companies, those that feel complaints.
Mm.
You have a technical issue, call, there's something wrong with your service,
right.
call us. A technical issue, call. These spaces are offended that you would insist that they take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Or they are so overwhelmed in many instances, because I looked at customer service in our environment today, right? Customer mm-hmm. service is poor in many instances, but I had to step back and say, these people are tired.
Well, in fact,
these people are overworked, underpaid. They're tired.
What the people are saying is, you call in for the 18th time, you know how horrible this company is.
Right.
What do you expect me, a lowly customer service rep,
yeah.
to do to fix the problem?
Right.
Like, why are you mad at me? Be mad at the company. See, but then the way to be mad at the company is to boycott them, which means there's less revenue coming in to pay you.
Exactly.
Right? And exactly. But understanding it's a system that you're working in
right.
that has you frustrated, tired, without answers, unable to answer questions. And if I tell you, I found myself in the situation where I keep calling and I keep quoting the last ticket number I had. And the rep kept telling me that number's not in the system. I said, man, I got this number.
Right.
And they go deeper. Oh, that ticket has been closed, right? And they say, how could it have been closed
if
the matter wasn't resolved? I don't know what to tell you, miss. You call you back to tell me it closed?
Right.
I can't be mad at them. That's why I try crack jokes. I can't be mad at them, but then why are you mad at me?
Right.
Right? And so understanding,
right.
we've both been pitted against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which was the design? As you started at the top of the show, the whole design was to pit us against each other. When they talk about the Willie Lynch letter, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it was true or not, right? The aspects of that letter are very true, right? We're going to pit light against dark, woman against a man, man mm-hmm. against, you know, child, to the point where we are now living out, and it was only supposed to be for 300 years. 2012 represented the 300th year of this spell of Willie Lynch. We were supposed to break it in 2012, but they got an extension because we didn't slow down long enough to actually actualize the or be able to understand what is being done to us. If we only look at slavery as something that happened in the past, then we don't actually appreciate what it is in the present. Mm-hmm. Slavery didn't end. It just morphed. It metamorphosized.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And we know this because there are still millions of people in forms of slavery right now.
Right now.
We don't talk about chattel slavery, but we also don't talk about the what must be thousands of people in sex slavery.
Yep.
Right? At least you could see the people in the field working.
Right.
But now these people are hidden. I mean, we're talking about people on barges in the middle of the ocean where they fly clients in.
Yeah.
All kinds of madness taking place on the planet.
And before the chattel slavery, you had in East Africa, I was just watching something recently where they talked about that a lot of women and children were targeted for that. So this sex trafficking is nothing new. This sex trafficking slavery is nothing new. So the point of going back to Clonora Hudson Weems, African mm-hmm. womanism, right?
Yeah.
We have to, again, put value on the family, which helps to put the value back on the female and on the male.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately on the child, right? And then in the extended family, the aunties, mm-hmm. the uncles, etc., right? We have to understand that family is a technology. Right? Family is a technology that allows for there to be a growth of wealth,
mm-hmm.
right? A growth, not just the financial wealth in terms of currency, but the actual intergenerational, this transmission of
information
yeah. right? To the point where when you look at who runs the world today, these are families. A lot of the brands that we think are brands, they're family names,
mm-hmm.
right? So someone understands technology,
mm-hmm.
and they don't ever want for people who've not used their families for 400 years to begin to do so again.
Let me pretend like I know something.
Right.
Right? I hear it all the time because I live in the house with my mother. Two women can't, not from her.
Right.
Not from her. Two women can't live in the same house with y'all. I believe, I don't want to go as far as to say that I know, but I will say I believe
mm-hmm.
that two women can live in the same house is real. It happened. It was said in this country.
Mm.
But they were talking to Muslim people with multiple wives.
Ah.
Because that culture was brought here with many people.
Yeah.
The reminder that if you're going to have multiple wife, they must have their own compound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a part of how the family that type of family technology
mm-hmm.
works. Those that come in and take what you know and bastardize it for their purpose convinced us to live in the same house means mother and daughter. sister and sister can't live in, but more importantly, mother and daughter, grandmother and daughter, right, can't live in the same house, which then destabilizes entirely this construct of family as technology. Because then you, what you lay on top of that is, you can't be a man or a woman unless you have your own house either. Right?
Right. Right.
You want to be man, turn your own lock.
Right.
Turn your own key.
Right.
And then we're saying that. Now imagine we've been saying that, just say for 200 years, 300 years, 200 years we've been saying that. Who you said that to? To enslave people that didn't have locking? Who told them that? See, somebody told them that.
And this is the ignorance again.
Right. They didn't own the key to the door. And here you are perpetuating that now, because it never ended, in a space where your entire government policy prioritizes foreigners in land use and ownership and housing.
Which is a part of that spirit of domination, right?
Yeah.
Where before I even reach the shores of a particular nation, I've already sent my systems, my institutions are already in place to assist me when I land on shore, to make sure that I get some land, to make sure I could start my business unencumbered, even more so than the people who actually live there. You understand? And this has been going on for centuries. But because we as a people have, and again, Dr. Amos Wilson, he talks about the fact that we are fixated on being this other dominant culture, this other dominant society, even more so than even just being ourselves. So we end up in a no man's land, right? With no identity, which means anybody can place their identity on us via stereotypes or any type of projections. So we pick up whatever we think gives us power.
And look at the television. Look at the television. Look at the way that they have identities to us. Look at the way that they have, we have allowed ourselves to be inundated with images, ideas, languages, constructs that we did not create. And here's the thing, not even in our, like your generation did not create the ideas that your children are predominantly absorbing.
No.
Right?
Which is why you lose your children after a while.
Right.
If you give them over to the television, if you give them over to the education system, if you give them over to the institutions that have been put in place by the oppressor, you get a form, you get your you get a shell of your child. Mm-hmm. Now you're trying to figure out who is this.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching in the earlier segment, telling them I don't watch 1,000 and 7,500 million movies, TV shows, and things.
All of us.
From I was about 5 years old,
Right.
Eyes on the TV. I remember the movie Baby Boomers. I think with Diane Keaton.
Wow.
Right? So I was a preteen when that movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until Millennial hit, right? Because we didn't think about Gen X until Millennial hit, right? But it made me realize that Millennial is not just a capitalist consumerist marketing tool, but it's also a capitalist imperialist tool. Right? Creates a false construct of division between generations.
You know, Dr. Trying to remember his first name now, but Dr. Carr, he's usually a contributor on Roland Martin, Unfiltered, right? He mentioned that, not last night, night before last, when they had the State of Our Union's address, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Roland, on Black Star Network, right? They were talking about Gen Z, Gen Alpha, Millennials, et cetera, et cetera. And he pointed out, he's like, I don't really get caught up in that so much because that is he used the term a thought experiment, right? Where we can begin to separate ourselves based on a generational age difference, right? And begin to focus in contextually on who we are through that lens, versus looking at our lineage or looking at our customs and our mores and how we identify through rites of passage, et cetera, on how we,
because
you know,
here's what's not possible without that language.
Right.
Here's what's not possible to happen without that language. Other show, Caller called in, he talked about medication. He's picking up the back and it says, suicidal thoughts and ideations and dreams, not just when you awake, when you sleep in, and extreme diarrhea. When you listen to the commercials on TV, it'd say death is a potential side effect of this medication. And nobody's up in arms about it. There's not enough.
And let me say this. I worked as a medical sales rep right out of university. And one of the first things I learned is that there are really are no such things as side effects. There are unwanted direct effects.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's the proper language.
They are unwanted because this medicine is going to cause this in some people.
And some marketer told them to call that side
effects. Call that side effects.
Right? And so who picks up a medication that says, oh, a side effect is death, or like you could lose your... You have gas and you could lose your vision by taking this medication, and you go to the doctor and you say, tell me more about this.
Right.
And then when somebody says, but look here, if you go in the yard and you grab a piece of mint, or if you see where Grammy have the ginger buried, and you pull up a piece of ginger, break it off and grate it and drink some tea.
Right.
Right. And they can tell you that's, don't bring that GDO, bear around me, the foolishness, but you prepared because, because that's them old people. Right? I don't be listening to my Grammy them. They didn't have no sense. They used to use the flit in the closed room. They don't have no sense. But you were willing to pick up something that say you have gas, but the side effect for the medication could be death or loss of vision and hearing?
Right.
That's only possible with this language that has created these false divisions. Of course there are divisions between genders. That's your Grammy. You don't go in the club with your Grammy.
No.
If you see your Grammy in the club, don't say nothing to her. Turn around.
You in the wrong.
Go out. No. Go outside. Call the police. And call your parents and say, look here, I don't know what's happening. Grammy in this club. I going home.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the division.
Stop the music. You come.
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk outside for a minute. Who bring you here, Grammy?
Yeah.
That's the division.
Yeah.
Not this idea that we don't believe in what that last generation believed in.
Right.
See, because we all believe that kids need discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also understood that not they were the main disciplinarians, but the community also offered discipline because we could trust the community. See, nowadays, we don't trust the community. We don't trust teachers. We don't trust the pastors. We don't trust institutions at large. Mm-hmm. So this is why the conversation comes up about discipline in school. I've listened to several of your shows where you talked about this discipline and stuff. And I'm like, the reality is we don't trust our teachers anymore.
I can tell you a story when we go to the break and the mics are off and the cameras are off. Mr. Heinous, you are tuned into Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. Heed the call to action against abuse and violence, and for hope and healing. Join Women Walk 2025, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m., Clifford Park. Come, walk, pray, wear purple or white, stand up for a strong, healthy community. A free event, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, cast greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry, and we are so grateful this show is sponsored by the CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship. So don't miss the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship at Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Stadium in Nassau, the New Providence, March 11th through 16th. Watch the Junkanoo Beach Boys take on top teams like Panama and the USA. It's free to attend. Come out and support your team and clear your calendar. 8 p.m. Beaming for 8 p.m. to give the local crowd the opportunity to get there and cheer on the Junkanoo Boys. It's going to be an exciting time. Now, Mr. Aeneas, I have a text here. It says, please read my text. Thank you. I want to say to the texter, how dare you say something so exciting amongst such excitable people and not expect excitement? Texter says, I believe Gen X, Gen Z, Baby Boomer, the Silent Generation, Gen Y, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, that it is based on vaccinations. Mm. It is an experiment, and the generation thing serves as a time of new vaccines. So I guess he's saying that, like, because then,
yeah,
I knew there was a silent years, the silent years generation, but I forget them.
Right.
Why did they call him silent?
I wonder.
They didn't make the most noise, but maybe they had the least vaccines. The point is, stop saying. Oh boy, Texas, thank you for that text.
These thought experiments, these, you know, vaccine experiments, whatever it is, again, it goes back to the dominant culture or the dominant society being able to project itself on a powerless people, right? I can make up whatever statistics I want to get you to do whatever I need you to do to control your behavior.
And here's the problem. We have examples of this throughout history.
Yeah.
See, like, the text seems wild. Like, the text seems like, Aaron, you'd be reading these wild things. You know what I read about that was super wild? Mm. The Tuskegee Airmen and the syphilis experiments.
Yeah, that's right. I went to Tuskegee. So I remember having those conversations in Tuskegee about the syphilis experiment. The hospital, one of the hospitals where they were actually doing the experiment, I lived right in front of that hospital. So that was very real for me.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
You can understand why people are inquiring. So what framed the show for me was spatial awareness. Right? The topic I ended my segment with about traffic and the traffic fatalities day before yesterday to the the conversation yesterday about sexual health and sexual rights, that both of these spaces require, like, sexuality, understanding your sexuality, your sexual self, sexual and intimate personal relationships, right? Marriages, and operating a motor vehicle, both require spatial awareness. Mm. They both require the individual to be mature enough to be able to continually practice types of spatial awareness, right?
You say it nicer than that. You know, when you see people kind of not aware of their spatial awareness, you just kind of write them off as a messed up person, right? But again, in order for us to heal, in many instances, we got to itemize this trauma, right? So I like the way you frame that up, because oftentimes the chaos that engulfs an individual, when they leave their house, when they leave their locale, they're bringing that chaos with them, right? And if they're not aware of the fact that everybody's world is not as chaotic as yours, right? So when you leave, whether you're in a car, whether you're on a motorbike, or whether you're walking, or however you may be ultimately sharing this space with other people, right? If you're not aware, first of all, that your space is actually chaotic, this is not normal. Right? Because again, we've normalized chaos. We've normalized many things that are traumatic in our spaces, right? And if I believe that you understand my trauma, because we all going through this, then I don't see a problem with actually behaving the way that I'm behaving normally around you, because you get it, don't you? And you're like, I don't get it.
Well, no, better yet, I do get it, and because I get it, I understand how dangerous it is.
But you get it. I'm just saying in many instances, people don't get
it. Yeah, at all. Right? And so like how you said that, I will realize very real on the road, it's like into your life.
No.
I'm not going to accept the chaos that you're dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, because I get this a lot, right? I have a set amount of time I want to spend on the road to get to work. Right. It should not take me more than 15 minutes to get from my leaving to get to my destination.
Right.
If it shouldn't take me more than 15 minutes, I'm not allocating more than 30 minutes for that journey. Right. I shouldn't have to double that time allocated to be safe.
Right.
Right? People on the road are like, oh, you late. You trying to, no, I'm not late. I'm trying to maintain a schedule that I have set. In fact, it's not chaotic at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've made an assessment of how long it should take.
Mm-hmm.
I've made an assessment of how much of my time in this day I could dedicate to just this being on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you that don't understand that you are bringing a chaos to the space.
Or let me juxtapose a counter narrative. When you got people who just touring, right? Like they just literally going 15 miles an hour, showing, and I you running hot, but you like, okay, but they gotta slow down and show the people stuff, right?
Right.
So it's like their world is tourism. The root word of tourism is tour.
Yeah,
I touring these people.
But you can't be touring during peak traffic time and people can't go to work.
Or the prisoners to and from the court, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing this during peak traffic times? I don't know the logistical schedule, right?
Right.
I'm sure they'll say, no, the reason why we're doing this is X, Y, and Z. But as a person who don't understand that logistical schedule, when I am on the road and I don't really have anywhere to pull over, and I see a big bus and two or three police cars coming at me from behind me or in front of me, to get to their destination, again, spatial awareness.
And who build the roads? They ain't never been to prison.
Oh, no.
They ain't never been to prison. They ain't never been on that bus trying to make it through traffic because there's no place for cars to pull over to allow the emergency vehicle to make it safely and clearly through that path.
Right.
But I think spatial awareness is one of these soft skills that you learn in community.
Yes.
Right?
The other technology.
Right.
Which comes out of family. Right.
Right. You learn that in community and in the family technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the most valuable skill sets that a young person can have in their toolkit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because engaging a conscious person makes us do more work and makes us more uncomfortable, especially a young person, it makes them how we think we are supposed to control them,
mm-hmm.
we discourage the types of engagement and discussions that help them to form spatial awareness. That's why I'm so very concerned, I ain't gonna say upset, concerned that one of the concrete steps the Ministry of Transport is taking to address this traffic issue is increased engagement with schools, especially high schools. Like, are you not practicing spatial awareness ministry?
Mm.
What is the child supposed to... You see the commercial? Daddy, slow... Mommy, slow down.
Yeah.
Right?
I know what I'm doing.
Right? The children... It's not the children's job to police the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the condition that you're creating in that child's mind? Who do I follow? You say, whose report do I believe?
Mm.
My mommy, who is the boss of my life and tell me I brought you into this world and I could take you out...
Or my teacher.
Right? Or my teacher, or the police,
mm-hmm.
or the minister, who always looks so professional when she's telling us these things.
Right.
But my parents and the other people on the road around me, and then sometimes I even see that teacher in their car doing the same thing my parents are doing. You are creating a space where kids develop a spatial, either they develop spatial awareness and then they become a sociopath, or they don't develop spatial awareness and they become a psychopath.
Right. The thing about it, too, is, and I heard you briefly mention those concrete. I put myself in their shoes for a second to try to figure out how do you change the behavior of a people. Obviously, you could put more police on the road and there's enforcement realities that we know can take place, right? I think drivers too have to take more accountability, right? I always hear you rowing, right? I say, boy, Aaron is be rowing every day. But how people driving, right? And they say, now look at these things coming to fruition. Look at how many traffic fatalities we're having, right? When I go on, Prince Charles is a very dangerous road, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I applaud them for trying to widen the road. But the fact that you don't have turning lanes in the middle, people have to just press brakes to stop the turn. It's like a highway in the middle of a neighborhood mm-hmm. type
And
scheme,
then couple
right?
it with the fact that people do not use turn signals no. as an act of protest. They mad. I ain't telling you where I go.
I indicate none.
Yeah, right? Or because what happens with me when I put on my indicator, the person in front of me thinks I'm thinking for them. Oh, they put on the, I can cut, right? I understand why, but you still got to use your turn signals. And people are stopping short, and you don't know why.
Right, you don't. You don't. And so you know, that street, that road, that boulevard, if you want to call it, that highway, it's really like, I don't know if we need speed breakers, like, so not straight speed bumps, but literally speed breakers to make sure you're going to maintain a particular speed on this road. You can't speed on that road.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Charles is not a highway. It's wide.
It's a dual carriageway.
It's not a highway. But people speeding on it like it's a highway. When I saw that car wrap around that pole the other day, mm-hmm. 2 days ago, whenever it was, I was like, this person was flying.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We feel as if this road is a highway. It's not a highway.
And that incident reportedly only involved one vehicle.
Right.
I mean, imagine now that you were not necessarily doing anything wrong and you get hit by a vehicle.
Exactly.
And you weren't even involved in the main accident, you get, and then it results
right.
in your death.
Right, right. Inadvertently.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, this whole idea of spatial awareness, this whole idea of the family, this mm-hmm. whole idea of us appreciating that there are oppressive, there are repressive systems at play that we're not addressing. We're attacking each other's behaviors without understanding what is probing or causing these behaviors to exist.
So by asking you, well, because I wasn't sure if I would have this opportunity
right.
to kind of frame the questions, right? Communal salvation versus individual salvation. Old Testament versus New Testament, right? And this question of, can I find salvation by myself, right? Or does it have to be communal? Or can I find salvation with my own rules?
No.
So right?
Here's the thing. Salvation, even in the New Testament, when you go to Revelation chapter 7, it talks about these people dressed in white in numbers that you cannot even actually count, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Revelation chapter 7, it talks about this, the 144,000. It talks about these 12 tribes of 12,000 people. And then in verse 9, it talks about, after this I beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, etc. That's speaking to a collective salvation.
Yeah.
That's speaking, so the kingdom of heaven has 12 doors.
So you're going to need spatial awareness to get inside
exactly.
the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. I love it. We can end it right there.
Listen, this is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Joining the show today, Reverend Dr. Cleveland Enius III, Calhoun, Sarah. If I get the chance, I can ask you, are old people allowed to be sexual beings?
Of course, because I can be old one day. I don't plan to stop.
As you, King Henry, you changing the rules as you go along. I don't believe that.
No way. So I look forward to that conversation.
Yes, sir.
Yes, namaste.
See you next week.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.